Bless you. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Give him another hand. That was awesome. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about a powerful message called Walking in the Culture of Honor. But before we do that, I want us all to stand up again. And, you know, back in 1997, Pastor Dave and Pastor Ina Newell came to this area to start a work. And he laid a powerful foundation in this house. And so if anybody's going to talk about honor, we should talk about Pastor David Newell. And we should talk about how much of a father he is to this house. And I remember one time I was really dealing with the Lord, and I had moved from Raleigh. I had been here at River, and I had moved to Burlington. And I was just really dealing with myself. I had been through a lot of things, and I just really needed to know if River of Life was the church that I needed to attend. And I was at work one evening, and the Lord told me, he says, you are to go to River of Life Church tonight. It was a Wednesday night service. You're to go to River of Life Church, and I'm going to show you the heart of the shepherd. And so I came that night, and I walked in, and on the little table was our study, and it was the Good Shepherd. And during that meeting that night, I used to sit toward the middle here, and I could hardly contain myself with weeping and crying, because through the whole entire message, I received such spiritual healing on the inside of me. And there's no greater one that I want to thank for that than Pastor David Newell. He has been that shepherd. So we want to tell him how powerful he is and how much we love him and Pastor Ina. So on the count of three, I want you to look at the camera, and I want you to start shouting and telling Pastor Dave how much you love him. Ready? One, two, three. We love you, Pastor Dave. We love you. Yes, we love you. We love you, Pastor Dave. We honor you today. We honor you in this house today. We couldn't be here unless it was for you. We thank you. We thank you, Pastor Dave. Thank you. Thank you for laying that foundation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we stand in the finished work with you. We stand with you in that finished work, because it's already done in your body. It's already been completed, and we stand with you in that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And we honor you today. Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah, we honor him. Just going to give him just a few seconds to get back to that. And I want to honor someone else in the house today while we're in honor. But I want Pastor Tim Pritchard and Paula to stand, because they have been with Dave and Ina since the very beginning. They came in shoulder to shoulder. So I want you to thank them and tell them how much you love them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for standing. Thank you. Yeah, we stand in the finished work of Jesus Christ in this man's body. We stand in that completely whole in Jesus' name. And we say we honor you today. And we love you. We love you today. Yeah. All right. Look at your neighbor and say, I honor you too. Yeah, this is a wonderful lesson. This is the beginning of the culture of honor. We taught this several years ago on a Wednesday night. The last, I believe it was 2014, so it's been a season since we've talked about this and shared this. So I'm going to lay the introductory, the lesson one, and for the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about the culture of honor. I believe, as Danny Silk believes, and a lot of our notes come out of this book, so you can still get this book. It's called The Culture of Honor, and it's by Danny Silk. You can get it on Amazon. It's a powerful read. If you get it, you can follow along with us for the next several weeks. But I believe that honor creates a supernatural environment. Say that with me. Honor creates a supernatural environment. And so there's one scripture that I just want to read to you. And I didn't give it back there, because I didn't get it until just a few minutes ago. But it's found in Mark chapter 12. And it's verse 29. And it said that Jesus was talking, and it says, Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one.'" And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Say with me, this is the first commandment. And then verse 31 states, and the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Yeah, Father, we thank you for this message today. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've already created such a culture of honor in this house. And so we just welcome you here, Jesus. We welcome the great teacher, and we honor you today. And Father, as we break open this word, Lord, Father, I pray that it would minister to each one of our hearts, God, that we would take from this exactly what we need to face tomorrow. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we honor you and we reverence you this morning in Jesus' name. So when I think about the culture, I think about the United States because this is where I live. But there's many cultures. So I was born in Germany, but raised here in the United States. And so when I think, I just jotted on a piece of paper some of the things that, some of the words that we hear in our culture. Some of them are democratic. Some of them are patriotic. We hear, if we're from Louisiana, we hear Cajun. American Indian. We hear about the immigrant. We hear about African Americans. We hear about rednecks, the good old boys. We hear about Hispanics. And we hear about, in today's culture, we hear about woke. We hear about critical race theory. We hear about the Liberty Bell in our nation. We hear about Mount Rushmore. We hear about academia. We hear about religion. We hear words and songs like Our Country Tis of Thee. We hear about the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. We hear about great presidents that have been here before us and great presidents that we already have. We hear all of these words in our culture. We hear words of envy. We hear words of jealousy and bickering. We hear words of you owe me something. We hear all kinds of words that are contrary to the culture of honor, to the word of God. And so in the kingdom of God, there's only one culture, and that culture is honor. There's only two commandments, and it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and it's to love your neighbor as yourself. And so I'm not bringing any condemnation today. I want to bring edification and exhortation to you, because walking in the culture of honor is so important in this house, but also in your workplace, where you go and where you visit every day. It's how you treat people when they've treated you bad. You know, I've been in situations where people have treated me bad and I haven't necessarily thought about the good things that I ought to be doing. I think about the bad things, right? So I think about things like, well, he did that to me. So, you know, I hope that he suffers, you know, or I hope that they have as much pain as that I have, you know. And so that's a worldly culture. That's worldly thinking. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's worldly. The kingdom of heaven is about love and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's about honoring one another and your identity. I'm going to get a little ahead of myself. This is kind of a little introduction. But when I say identity, I mean your identity in the Lord, right? So I can look at Mabel, and this is Mabel, and she's wonderful. Say with me, she's wonderful. She's wonderful, but she's got a God-given identity. And her God-given identity, I believe, a facet of that is that she's an encourager. So in the body, if I need an encourager, I'm going to go and grab Mabel, right? Because I'm going to call out her destiny on the inside of her. Does that make sense? So when I think about an author, when I think about someone who knows the Word of God and who can stand up and teach the Word of God, I think of Norman. So this is Norman. Give him a hand. This is Norman. He's part of our body, but he's got an identity in the Lord. And he's a powerful author, if you didn't know that about him. He's not only a powerful author, but he's a powerful intercessor and teacher. And so his God-given identity is powerful, right? When I look at Versi, man, just get with her when she's praying. She's a powerful intercessor. This is Versi. Give her a hand. She's part of our body. So I look at her and I think, man, if I need somebody to pray, or if I'm going on a trip somewhere and I need an intercessor, I'm going to call Versi to intercede for me. That's calling out and honoring their identity in Christ. When I think about an apostle, I think about Pastor Dave. And so when I think about an anointing and how honor works, I think, well, he's got such an anointing, an apostolic anointing, and a healing anointing that we can't help but come in the house and walk in that anointing. Say with me, I can walk in that anointing. So when we honor one another by their identity, we take from them. We can receive from them, right? Pastor Pius is a powerful pastor teacher. And so he's a very humble man. And so when I look at Pastor Pius, I think he's a teacher. So I'm going to call him as a teacher, and I'm going to be able to receive that reward. Does that make sense? So calling one another by our identity is living a life of supernatural ability in the culture of honor. Amen. So we all want to live there. But sometimes the enemy gets in and he wants to ruffle our feathers, and he wants to say, well, she didn't talk to me today, or didn't hug me today, or, you know, I didn't know that he or she felt that way about me. And, you know, I think, though, they got a problem with me. And so we sometimes, as born-again believers, step out of the culture of honor. And we get into a flesh mentality. We get into the culture of the world. And I want to exhort us today that we need to come out of that world, come out of that culture, and step into a dynamic culture, and it's the kingdom culture. Amen. And so I know I'm preaching to some of you, and you're walking there, but Danny Silk states the principle, and this is in your notes, the principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging who people are will position us to give them what they deserve. So accurately acknowledging who they are gives them what they rightfully deserve. So when I look at Pastor Dave and Ina, and I see how powerful they are. And I experienced this once when I went to New Jersey to minister. And I was ministering there. And Pastor Dave was texting me. And he was telling me, get him, girl, you know. get out there and speak the word of knowledge, you know. And so I remembered those words. And I remembered, and I thought to myself, huh. So I come out of his house, and I'm submitted to him, and he's my shepherd. Then, Lord, the same anointing he has, I can have. Say with me, I can have. So I was given words of knowledge like nobody's business. And I knew that that was the anointing that flows from this house. So when we walk in honor, we carry that same anointing. Amen. We carry the anointing that they deserve. We carry that anointing. Okay. That makes sense? So where did I leave off? Okay, so we give what they deserve and receive the gift of who they are in our lives. So I received the gift of who they were in my life, and I was able to flow in that gift. So all life flows from honor. Say that with me. All life flows from honor. Yeah, Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, number one, there are many cultures today, and the most important culture is the culture of the kingdom of heaven, the one we're called to flow in. In the kingdom of God, honor must be the foundation of all our relationships. Romans 12:10, I gave it to you in the Passion, but I'm just going to read it to you real quick, verse 10 in the New King James, states, to honor preferring one another, or to be tender, and this is your first fill-in, and compassionate. So it states, honor is preferring one another, to be tender and compassionate. Living this life of honor creates life in all, in your next fill-in, relationships. So living this life of honor creates life in all relationships and promotes honor. When we can recognize people in their God-given identities, we receive an award. Now, let me go back to Romans, and let me read it to you out of the Passion Translation. It says, to be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fever, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. I mean, that's powerful. So honor one another above yourself. That reminds me of the the best commandment, the second commandment, love one another, love your neighbor as yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fever, serving the Lord. Okay. So living the life of honor creates relationships and promotes honor. When we can recognize people and their God-given identities, we receive an award. Matthew 10, verse 41. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Okay, so when we receive one another in the body of Christ, we receive a reward. So I receive you as being part of the body of Christ, therefore I receive an award. Amen. I receive prophets, I receive their reward. Okay. So we are all important in the family of God. And when we define a person by their true identity, we then establish honor. This is and has always been the design for relationships to work, honoring and preferring one another. Danny Silk calls it like a funnel from heaven. Joseph Prince calls it like pipes from heaven. So I like that. I like it's God's pipeline from heaven to earth. When we learn to honor one another, God can then move through us. Love is a powerful thing. And in the world and the culture that we live in right now, they need for Christians to be rising up and loving one another. So we have enough discord on the outside. We don't need the discord on the inside, right? So we can go out there and we can hear all kinds of nonsense, and we can come in here and hear all about the glory of God. I'd rather be in here listening to about the glory of God, right? So whenever there's a schism or there's a problem or there's discord, honor takes a back seat. And so we don't want honor to take a back seat. We want honor to be sitting right here with us. And he came in a form of a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. So we want to honor one another. So it doesn't mean that maybe somebody might upset you. Yeah, somebody might upset me. And it's up to me to change that from the culture of the world to the culture of the kingdom, right? It's up to me to continue to love in spite of what was said to me or done to me. And I know sometimes that's hard to swallow, right? It is hard to swallow, especially if we've really been hurt or really been offended, or we've been spiritually abused maybe. And it's hard to stand there and love and forgive, but this one thing God requires of his church is that we forgive. Amen? Okay. So it's God's pipeline from heaven to earth. Number two, I just want to say, too, that the kingdom is not rule-driven, but it's grace-given. I'm going to share a quick testimony that the Lord's bringing to me right now. So several years ago, I was ministering with Pastor Ina. It was on a Tuesday. I'm probably going to go back probably 8 years now. It was a long time ago. And we were sitting over here on that side of the church, and we were counseling a woman. She no longer comes here to this house, but we were counseling her, and she was going through a horrific thing in her marriage. And it was just horrific. Just to listen to her talk, it was just about enough for me. And so we listened, and she poured her heart out to us. And when she was done, Pastor Ina looked at her. And this was the first time I really experienced a no judgment zone. So say with me, no judgment zone. So, and I had counseled many people and sat with many pastors, and I've been there and done that. But this particular day, Ina looked at her and took her by the hand and said, "Whatever choice you make, we will stand with you. We'll stand with you. So if you choose to go or you choose to stay, whatever it is that you choose to do, whatever the Lord is telling you, we'll stand with you." That was so powerful to me. Say with me, that's powerful. That was so powerful to me. That was honor in action. It wasn't rule-driven, but it was grace-driven. Say with me, it's grace-driven. Sometimes we can get into rules and just have somebody double-cross you, find out right away if you're still in rules. You know, you can be out on the highway and going down the road on 540, minding your own business, and somebody comes in and cuts you off, and the next thing you know, you're rule-driven. You want to punish them the same way they just drove in front of you, or you're driving down, that dummy, they just pulled out in front of me, you know, boy, I could have been killed, you know. And so you speak that right out of your mouth, and so you'll know right away whether you're rule-driven or they're honor driven. How about, Lord, just bless them. God, they're driving erratic. They're driving crazy. I don't know what they're in a rush to, but Lord, bless them today. I just bless them. Father, keep them that they don't get in an accident with their crazy self, right? So that's taking it and turning it around to honor, right? So we have a, say to your neighbor, I got a lot of work to do. Yes, yes, we got a lot of work. So that's just something little, right? That's something that might happen every day. But I would encourage you, when next time it happens, remember, you know, Isabel said, don't let the monkeys out. There's a circus going on, but don't let the monkeys out, right? So when they cut you off, don't let the monkeys out. No, say, Lord, bless them and protect them, right? Because they're my neighbor. I don't know them. I don't know where their destiny is or who they are, but God, protect them. Put angels over them. Put your angels on assignment, right? Because they could be down the road getting in an accident, and they had an encounter with you first. So honor says to bless them. Honor says to love them, right? So I'm talking to myself here too. All right, so when somebody double crosses you or gets in your way or makes you upset at work or does something to you, things aren't going your way, you'll know right away if you're rule driven. You'll know that by what comes out of your mouth and what you think. So Lord, help us all. Say, Lord, help me. Okay. All right, number two. Relationships are important with church leaders, sisters and brothers in Christ, and family and friends, and in our workplace. Honor will always promote someone higher than yourself. But the most important relationship is with our Father. We can speak to him as friends. And let's take a look at Exodus 33, verse 11. And this is Moses. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. So I like the fact that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. So Moses talked face to face as friends talk. So that's your fill in there, A. So he spoke to God face to face as friends talk, just like we speak to our friends. Abraham knew the plans of God far off. He believed God, and it was imputed to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. That's number B and number two. And let's take a look at James 2 and verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Hallelujah. With Moses and Abraham, their relationship with God was built on trust that allowed communication with God. They knew God valued their opinion. The Father loves when we talk to him as friends. And let's take a look at John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. In the Passion Translation, it says that it states intimate friendship with God. So no longer does he call us servants, but he calls us friend. And it took trust. Let's talk about Abraham just for a second. It took trust for Abraham to take his son and offer his son as a sacrifice. He didn't budge. He wasn't moved. This is what the Lord told him. They talked friend by friend. And this is what the Lord said. But he had been promised that his seed would be blessed and inherit the nations of the world. The stars in the sky were more. His descendants were more than the stars in the sky. But yet here he was taking his seed, and he was taking his seed to be offered. What trust is that to have? Look at your neighbor and say, what trust is that to have? This is the trust that God wants you and I to walk in. When we walk as friends with God and we communicate with God as friends, we trust him. Don't you trust your friend? You have a good friend that you confide in, and you trust them, and you tell them everything, you know. And so if you can't complain to anybody, you complain to that friend. How many's been there? Okay. I can't complain, but I can complain to you. So and my mom many times is my like bouncing board. So I'll call her up, and I'll share some things with her, and I'm like, oh, mom. And I share some things with her, and then when I'm done, I'm like, I'm good. I'm good. I got it, you know. I'm good. But I trust her that she's not going to say anything. I trust her that when I confide in her, she's not going to run to my neighbor and tell my neighbor about it. So Abraham had this trust in God. He knew somewhere in his heart, he had to have known that God was going to provide a lamb, that God was going to provide that ram for him. He had to have known that because he walked in a relationship with God. So our intimate relationship with the Father is so important to produce honor in your life. Okay, so sometimes our identity can get kind of messed up. You know, we can have like an orphan spirit or, and that's another message, but we can have like stuff in our trunk that holds us and we think that God is a rule-driven God and not a grace-given God. And so we will not come to the Father because we think the Father has got this ought, or we think the Father's got this judgment, maybe because of the way you were treated when you were young, and you just felt like you couldn't go to your Father. And so there was a season in my life where I felt like I couldn't go to my Father. And I remember one time early in my walk with the Lord, and some of you already know this testimony, but it was early in my walk with the Lord, and I had to forgive my dad. I carried a lot of stuff. But the more stuff that I carried toward my dad, it hindered me from walking in honor. It hindered me from walking in the culture that God wanted me to walk in. And he one day told me, and this is how God talks to me. He one day told me, Kimberly, if you don't forgive your father, this is where it stops. And that was so sharp. But that's how God talks to me because it's got to get through my head. It's got to get through me. So I, okay, I want to forgive my dad, you know. Okay, Lord, I can't forgive my dad. And then I start reasoning with the Lord. How many of you don't reason with the Lord? Because God wants to do something through me, but he can't do anything through me if I've got this, stuff, you know, and it's my Father. And so what was happening was I wouldn't go to God. I would go to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus. But I wouldn't go to God. No, because, you know, God represented like a father to me, and I wouldn't go to God for anything, right? And so I would hold back from God. But, oh, I'd pray to Jesus and pray to the Holy Spirit. But I felt like God was holding something back from me. I didn't understand that God was good because I hadn't seen that. Okay. So I said to the Lord, I said, okay, you know what he's done. And then I want to go on a whole list of stuff that he's done. How many's ever done that? I could write a whole list of what he's done, you know, and how crazy messed up I was when I was a teenager because of this, you know, and the road that I went down because of this, you know. And so I was shifting the blame. But I always had this hardness in my heart. I had no honor. And he was my dad, and I had no honor. And so now I know that. But back then, I didn't know that. But I knew at the moment when I called him up on the phone, because we didn't have Facebook. We didn't have email. And so I called him on the phone, and I began to tell him. And the first words out of my mouth was, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't know Jesus. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. And the God was taking me back to when I was really little. And I was beginning to remember how he took me to a Catholic church. And he took me there, and I began telling my dad about the story of him taking me to the Catholic church. I'm supposed to be asking him to forgive me. So I'm in this story with my dad, and I remember in New York State, upstate New York, the weather's very cold there. And so, I mean, like really cold. And they would take us back to this church, this Catholic church, way back up in Fish Creek, New York. Like, I'm talking, it's cold back there and there's a lot of snow. And so I remember sitting in that church, freezing in that church, because it was like, I don't know why they didn't turn the heat on. I was always freezing. And so, and my little legs would start to shake, and my dad would take his hand and put it on my knee so that I would sit still. But my feet were so cold. And I began to tell my dad this story. And I said, Dad, I said, you gave me a sense of knowing that there was a God. And I just want to thank you for that today. I want to thank you for taking me to that church. I want to thank you for taking me to church and teaching me about Jesus. And I want to ask you to forgive me today because I've not honored you. And right there, I began to ask him for forgiveness. And it was nothing but the Holy Spirit. And when I was done, he began to tell me about the little church. And he began to tell me how sorry he was for what he had done. And bam, I was forgiven. And I had this whole new picture of God. It was like this light went off. And it's like, wait a minute, God is good. And then I began to hear other ministers speak about the goodness of God. But there was a blockage in me that was hindering my identity from serving Jesus. And it would have stopped there. I believe God was true. I believe that if I would have held that unforgiveness in my heart, I wouldn't be standing here before you today. So honor prefers one another, no matter the damage that has been done, because the only one who can heal the damage that has been done is Jesus. Amen. So he is the only one that can heal your heart and mend your wound. If you've been spiritually abused or you've had an identity crisis, that caused me to be an orphan in the church. I was actually an orphan in the church because I couldn't call dad. I couldn't call God my daddy. I couldn't call him my father. But I've learned my identity in the Lord. And I've learned to call God my father. And there's nothing that he won't withhold from those who walk uprightly before him. Amen. All right. So number three. Honor finds value, and value empowers. So those are your two first fill-ins. So honor finds value, and value empowers. And empowerment releases trust. So you see how that works? So value empowers, and it releases trust and causes you to interact with one another. My husband likes to say communication is the key, and it is the key to your relationships. So let me read that to you again. Honor finds value, and value empowers, and empowerment releases trust, and this causes us to interact with one another. Communication is the key to any relationship. And I want to pause here just for a second. This is not in your notes, but value actually is what is important in life to you. So what you value will be who you are. Okay, so it actually means what is important in life. Empower means the power to do something. And trust means belief in the reliability and strength of someone else. That's what trust means. Say, may I trust Jesus? There's an old-fashioned song, Trust and Obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus, right? Is that how it goes? To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. So I'm going to share a story with you, and we all know this story. But I love this story because in this story, I don't know about you, but I find value, and I find empowerment, and I find trust in this. So this is Mary, and the Lord had healed and delivered Mary from many demons. And so here she was, and Jesus had been crucified. And he was put in the tomb, and Mary arrives back at the tomb. Broken and sobbing, she stooped to peer inside, and through her tears, she saw two angels in dazzling white robes sitting where Jesus' body had been laid, one at the head and one at the feet. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" they asked. Mary answered, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Then she turned around to leave, and there was Jesus standing in front of her. She didn't realize that it was him. And he said to her, "Dear woman, why are you crying? And who are you looking for?" Mary answered, thinking that he was just the gardener. Now, she had to have been in quite a state to think that he was just the gardener, because he had just talked to her. So he had just said to her, "Why are you crying? And who are you looking for?" And she's in her tears and in her weeping and in her crying. She didn't even recognize at that point who he was. Okay. "So who are you looking for?" Mary answered, thinking that he was a gardener. She said, "Sir, if you have taken his body somewhere else, tell me and I will go there. I'll go to where you've taken him. Just, sir, tell me where you've taken him." Then Jesus said, "Mary." The moment he called her by name, she knew that it was him. What did he do just there? He valued her. So he is not even ascended yet. Hadn't even gone into heaven yet. And he says, "Mary." And she didn't recognize him when he was first talking. But the moment he called her by her God-given identity, Mary, she knew exactly who he was. Say with me, he knows my name. Okay, turning to face him, she said, in Arabic meaning teacher, Jesus cautioned her and said, "Mary, don't cling to me, for I haven't yet ascended to God my Father." And he's not, now I love this. This is a passing translation. So he says, "I've not gone to my Father yet. And he's not only my father and my God, but he is now your father and your God. So what Jesus Christ did was he became not only teacher, but he became one with his father, not only for him, but for you and for me. Okay, what can you imagine that conversation? Okay, so now he tells her, now go. So now he's sending her. How many know he sent a woman first? Look at your neighbor and say he sent a woman first. Okay, I just had to throw that in there. All right, so now go to my brothers and tell them what I've told you, that I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. And then Mary Magdalene left to inform the disciples of her encounter with Jesus. I have seen the Lord, she told them, and she gave them his message. So I want to tell you that down in number three, Jesus valued Mary when he called her by name. He empowered her to go and tell others. Jesus trusted her to be the first one to speak that he's alive. That's powerful. So when you value, it empowers. And when you, and that empowerment releases trust. And so he knew right there he valued Mary, he empowered Mary, and he trusted Mary to go. How many know that Jesus says that you're to go, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the utter, to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He values your identity with him, and he wants to empower you today to go and do and be all that God has called you to go and be. He wants your identity to be so wrapped up in him that you're moved every time he talks to you, every time he speaks to you. He wants you to run with him. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to sup with him. He honors you, and he expects for you and I to honor him and honor those that are around us. Amen? Okay. So value is what is important to you. So if you value your relationships with others, then that's important to you. If whatever you value empowers you. So if for instance, you're so in tune with the news more than you're in tune with the word, then the news is empowering you, not the word, right? So if you're more concerned about what's happening in our nation rather than what's happening in the church, then you're not empowered. That's what you're empowering. That's what you're going to have. So I would say to you today and to me, I would say as a corporate body, we need to be concerned with what's going on in the church. We need to be concerned about the one sitting next to us. You know, often I think sometimes, do I really know the need of the person sitting next to me in church? I greet Cortina and I see her and I hug her, but do I really know what she's going through? Do I really know? Do I even know what to say to her? I'm going to honor her today, though. I'm going to love her, and I'm going to honor her, and I'm going to give her a hug. I don't know what she's going through, but I'm going to be here as the body of Christ. I'm going to be standing right here with her. So it's important when we honor one another that we recognize them by their God-given identity, right? So I love Veronica. She's not in the service today. She must be in the back teaching. She is such a worshiper. I often tell her, it's like listening to Ruth Fizell when I listen to Veronica, you know. And so every time I talk to her and speak to her and want to see her, I want to tell her that. I want to tell her that you have got an anointing on your life to bring the body of Christ into the threshold of the very throne of God. You have got that anointing in your life. So I don't see Veronica as Veronica. I see her as one that's going to usher the very presence of God into our midst. So that seeing with that identity and honor of Jesus Christ. When I see Pastor Tim and he's up here and he's teaching, I see him going. I see him as an evangelist. I see him traveling and going and ministering to people outside the four walls of the church. So I call him by that. When I look at Pastor Ina, I see Pastor Ina as a powerful prophet of God. She has eyes to see. And so when I pray for Ina, Lord, I thank you for that prophetic anointing in her life. God, I thank you that she's a prophet of the house, and I thank you that she moves and she breathes and she sees according to the kingdom of heaven. When I think of Pastor Dave, I say, Lord, I thank you that his identity is he's an apostle, a prophet. Father, I thank you, God, that he's a healer, that he lays hands on the sick and people recover. Father, I thank you, God, that he establishes the work and he sees it till it's finished. Father, I thank you, Lord. So I begin to call out people by their identity. So I can say hi, Ruth. But Ruth sits here and she's quiet. But I want to tell you something about Ruth. Is that she's a powerful intercessor. She's a powerful intercessor. She prays and she seeks the Lord when none of us know that she's praying. Do I know that about you? I don't, do I? No. But God knows that about her. God knows that about her. So when I look at her, I say, that is her identity. So if you need somebody to pray for you and intercede for you, hook up with her. Hook up with Versi. Hook up with those ones who carry the identity of a prayer warrior. Hook up with them. If you need a prophetic word, hook up with Ina. Go to Ina. If you're going through something, a problem, a trial, go get her to pray with you. Amen. That's calling one another out by our God-given identity. That's valuing them. It empowers them. And it releases in them the very supernatural manifestations of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Look, say to your neighbor, I'm going to call you by your identity. Yes. Yes. All right. Well, I'm almost done. Okay. So number four, our relationship with our Heavenly Father is key to our relationships with others. That's your fill-in for number four. Honor increases grace, and grace releases us to be free. When we honor, it moves the heart of God. And where his grace is, his love abides. So Jesus is the grace giver. And we live out our relationship with God, this grace relationship with God, day by day. Day by day, week by week, month by month. Honor, number five in the Greek, it actually means time or tima. The price paid or received for a person. Value was God sending his son. He paid the price for you and me. The very nature of value will always honor others, regardless of their social standing, economic, color, or education. None of these categories have any positional value at all in the kingdom. Now, right there is totally different from the culture of the world, isn't it? Can we pull up that final scripture there? Colossians 3, 10 through 17. This is in the Passion Translation. It says, for you have acquired new creation life. So you've acquired a new life in God, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you. How many know we get renewed day by day by the renewing of our mind? Giving you the full revelation of God. In this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference. Look at your neighbor and say, makes no difference. Your ethnicity makes no difference. Education, economic status, they matter nothing. Say they matter nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, they don't matter. I mean, it's good if you want to go to school. It's good. Okay. So for it is Christ that means everything as he lives in every one of us. You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with the virtues of God. Since you have been divinely chosen to be holy, be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. Now, this is pretty big as you endeavor to understand others because sometimes we don't understand people. But yet God still tells us to be divinely robed and love one another, even if we don't understand them, right? So be merciful as you endeavor to understand others and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable. Say with me, unoffendable. In your patience, say with me, in my patience with others. How many know that can be difficult? Okay. So, but tolerate, I'll say tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. So tolerate that because we're not all on the same level, right? Some of us are way up and some down, some in the middle, some are blown up, some are short, but we're all different. But tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Forgiving one another in the same way that you've been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. That's pretty powerful. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Say that with me. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Let your heart be always guided by peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of one body. And always be thankful. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with psalms, with festive praises, prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your hearts, and let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lip be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. Hallelujah. Honor holds the church. It's the piping from heaven to earth. When our identity is in the Father, we will honor all those who God puts into our life. You know, Proverbs, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, a good man will draw wells out of their brother and sister. So when we should be drawing the value, we should be drawing the gifts out of those that sit among us. We must be love-driven people in the kingdom. That's not in your notes. It's just a little sidebar I have. We must see value. This will take time, especially if your trust has been broken. But to create a supernatural environment, we must hold on to the words of Zechariah. Zechariah, I don't think I gave that to you either, did I? No. Zechariah 4, verse 6, it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. So if you're in that place where trust has been broken, and you're in that place where I don't know whether I can forgive that person, or I don't know whether I can value that person, then you need to understand that it's not by might, it's not in your own might, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord working in you. You just need to be that willing vessel to say, okay, Lord, do that work on the inside of me. And I want to close with this scripture. Did I give you Psalm 133? Yeah. And I love this scripture, and I think this scripture goes with the culture of honor, and I believe so because it says, how wonderfully and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It's as precious as a sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. And here it is. From this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life forevermore. Hallelujah. So when we come together in unity, when we come together and we realize the piping from heaven to earth is honor, when we can come together and realize that the same anointing of our precious pastors and leaders in this house, those that work, and even if you do nothing in the church, even if you do absolutely nothing, each one of us are important to the body of Christ. Each one of us have something to do. Our identities are wrapped up in Jesus. And so whatever God has called you to do, do it. Do whatever God has called you to do. Do it faithfully. Walk with him humbly. Serve the Lord with gladness. Be thankful for what God has given to you. God has given us this precious body. We fit together. We're like that glove. And if my thumb is gone, I can't do much without you. So every part of the body functions together. We're one body with one head. And so there's in the kingdom, there's a culture. And the culture is honor. In the world system, it's craziness. In the world system, they don't have what we have in the church. But God longs for us to take what we have and give it to them. So God longs for us to take this controversy and take it to those out on the street. God calls us to take it to those who are woke. God calls us to take it to those who are disfortunate. God calls us to take this honor and this virtue because Jesus Christ paid a price for you and me. There's a scripture that says that he was unrecognizable. He was so marred that if anybody owes anybody anything, it's Jesus. Because he paid a price. A price was paid. A fixed price was paid. And he paid that price that you and I could walk in love. Two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. And he paid such a price. He was peace. He was grace. He was honor. And he paid that price for you and I, that you and I could walk humbly before him. That you and I could rise up in the midst of this culture and begin to release the supernatural culture, which is the culture of honor. Amen. You can stand with me. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So the altar team can come on up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to bless you today. I want to pray and bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. The altar team is coming. Father, I just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this word today. Father, I thank you, God, if there's someone in here, anyone in here, God, who has not been walking in their true identity, Lord, that you would cause them today to step into that, Lord. If there's those in here, God, that don't know what their identity is, God, that you would show them what their God-given identity is, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here at River of Life Church. I thank you, God, for your establishment of your kingdom in this house. And I thank you, God, that the blessings of this house, God, go to every single person in the house, not just one. So, Father, I thank you today, Lord, that you would just take this word, that you would just seal it up on the inside of us, God, that when we're faced with a speeding person down the road, or we're faced, God, with someone double-crossing us or hurting us or whatever the case may be, God, that you would bring this back to our remembrance, Lord, that we would choose to not let the monkeys out, that we would choose to love, that we would choose to allow the supernatural graces and mercies of God to flow through us and flow out of us, Lord. Father, I thank you, God, for making us an example of who you are. I thank you, Lord, in this season that we live in, this crazy culture that we live in, Father, that you've given us tools in your kingdom. And Father, the greatest tool is love. And God, that you've given that to us, God, that we would walk in that love and that we would spread it to others, Father, that we would go into the marketplace and into this world and give them a better way, that we would give them a supernatural life that can be lived in the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Bless you. If you need prayer, if you're struggling in any area with this, you can come on up and they can pray for you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.